Fourth Psalm, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 18. This is one of my favorite Psalms. It's one that my children, in most part, have committed to memory. We've done it in sections, and they remember certain parts, you know how it is, better than they do others. But it is a Psalm that's a very important one, a great blessing. If you found your place, stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord from Psalms chapter 34. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I thank God for it. Matter of fact, on Monday afternoon when I was preaching over at the camp meeting, I used one of these verses in the message from verse number 18, that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And then there was another man that preached there that used verse number 19 in his message. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so it's remarkable how the multitude of lessons that there is in this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, I, for a long time, marked every time that I preached in a passage of Scripture the date, and then I quit doing that for a long time, Brother John, and I've started doing it again in the last year or two. I did it to start with to make sure that at the first church that I pastored that I didn't repeat a passage of Scripture without realizing it or something. And then I realized that we needed the repetition. We needed to hear it again. We repeat Amazing Grace over again, and we sing it again, and we sing the same songs, and we do the same things. I mean, you've had beans and taters for supper more than once. I mean, we repeat the same meals because it is good. We want it again. We'll go to the same place on vacation twice, and why in the world wouldn't we return back twice to the same place in God's Word? I've started writing them down again just to note the times that I've been in that passage and the different lessons that I've learned maybe from the same passage of the Word of God. And in this passage I see where I've been here in January of 09 and September of 1992, and back a few weeks ago, and then this past week on Monday in verse 18, and so many other times in this passage of Scripture. And verse number 8, we preached on the taste of the Lord back several years ago. It's not marked. It was while it wasn't marked. And we preached on the body of God. There is a, that God has a body. He's a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth, but He has a body. We know because in this passage it tells us that He has eyes, that He has a hand, that He has a face. And it tells us that in this psalm. And so His body is real. He has a spiritual body, but it's a body. What about that? And Jesus, of course, was robed in human flesh and made like unto us. And so many lessons in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says in Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, I'd do us well just to get that down, wouldn't it? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 14 would be a good theme verse for your entire life. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. pursue it. Be a peacemaker. Do what's right. Live in a way that be pleasing to the Lord. Follow that which is good. I mean, it's impossible to even tap the depth of that simple verse in verse 14. And if folks had returned to that, we wouldn't have all the devil meant and mess that we've got going on in our society prevailing on every side. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I want to take our text this morning from chapter 34 and verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. We've preached there many times. But the latter part of the verse, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. That's what I'm trying to preach on this morning. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We've been looking at this blessed man for the last several weeks. We saw the man that's blessed from Psalms 127. How God blessed his way, his work, his family, his worship. How we saw the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so forth from chapter 1 of Psalms. We saw the blessings of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. We looked at being blessed but stressed in Acts chapter 14. We preached a couple of weeks ago on blessed forgiveness from Psalms 32. And then last Sunday from Psalm 100 on gratitude and gracious blessings. And this week I want to look at verse number 8 of this Psalm. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Notice how the psalmist begins the psalm by praising the Lord and calls on others to praise Him. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Notice this saying of praise begins with Him, and then when others hear about it, they're glad as well. Somebody said, well, the night I was in a meeting, and it was cold and it was dry, and it seemed like it just couldn't get that tractor cranked up and get it started. And somebody said, the meeting sure was dry tonight. And I was reminded of that yesterday when I read this passage. And David said, I'll tell you what, I wasn't worried about whether or not the meeting was dry. I just started praising God and myself. And when I praise the Lord, and when I glorified God, and when I lifted my hands to Him, others heard about it, and it made them glad. And then he gave us verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Somebody help me praise Him, in other words. Somebody help me glorify Him. And let us exalt His name together. I tell you, here David is, being an exhorter. And I remember when I was a boy, Jerry Padgett used to come around the church and sing it. And the Brother John, you know what we used to say about Jerry? I said he was an instigator. Amen. And he was. He'd get around the church and he'd start something. Some of y'all know it. I knew him and know what I'm talking about. He'd just come in the meeting house. Just being there, he'd start something. I mean, folks wanted to praise God with him. People wanted to glorify God with him. I don't know about you, but I want to be like the psalmist here. I want to be like Jerry Pagsy was. I want to be an instigator. I want to inspire people to praise God. I want to stir the congregation. I want to be an exhorter. Amen. I want to encourage folks to come and let us magnify the Lord together. It's almost as if he gets down to verse number 3 and he's thinking, well, they just might not do it. And so I got to tell them why they need to praise God. And he starts off by telling his own story. And somebody said, I don't have much to say. I don't have anything to tell. Why don't you just stand once in a while and tell everybody how you came to know Jesus, what the Lord's done for you, your experience with Christ. How one said, I don't have the testimony another one has. How one said, I can't sing like this one, and I can't preach like that one. Can you tell us what Jesus has done for you? If you can, you can inspire others to praise the Lord. I heard a man this week do some very deep and learned, and my friend preached it. I mean, it was a dissertation of depth and of soundness, and my friend deep doctrinal truths, and the service was dead and dry, but he got in the middle of all of that, and all them doctors and all of them experienced and learned preachers in the congregation, and he got down there finally, and then Brother Johnny started telling what Jesus did for him some 50, 60 years ago, how he pulled him up out of the muck and the mire and put his feet on a solid rock, and that crowd all of a sudden came to life. How folks are raising their hand and praising God and shouting all of his learning. A dissertation had not stirred their hearts. That's news, my friend. And through all of his depth and all of that stuff that was so impressive that he had learned. But when he got personal and began to tell folks, this is what Jesus did for me, it is remarkable how has something stirred within people. And you know what they did? They could relate. They said, yes, I remember when I too was in the muck and the mire. I remember too when I did not know the Lord. I remember when he's come through for me time and time and time again. And David said, if I'm going to get you to praise him with me, I'll just tell you what he's done for me. That's what I know best anyway. And if I tell you what he's done for me, surely if he's done anything for you, then you can relate to that. You know what it is to be saved. When I say I'm glad I'm saved, it does something in your heart. I see somebody stand and testify and say, I know that I'm saved. They're not even talking about me, but it's God, that something happens down inside of me, because I know as they know that I'm saved, and it brings joy down in my heart.
Amen. Oh, blessed is that man that trusteth in him. He said, now listen, I sought the Lord. I prayed and he heard me. Let me tell you why you ought to praise him. Oh, thank God. And listen, friend, in verse number 8, he calls again for us to join him in tasting of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see if you don't believe me that he's wonderful. If you don't believe me that he's powerful, if you don't believe me that he's worthy of praise, just taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to point something out to you. Just tasting that it was that David's talking about here was not testing. It was trusting. Amen. Somebody said, why don't you just try Jesus? You might like him. You've tried everything else. Why don't you just try Jesus? You don't try Jesus so much as you trust Jesus. When you taste him, that is to receive him within you. That what you put in your mouth to eat, you consume, you receive it on the inside. It becomes a part of you. And my friend, hey, it becomes part of who you are and of what you are. It gets in your bloodstream. It gets into your body. It gets inside of you. He said, receive Jesus inside. Take him within you. Understand that he's good. How? And you'll be blessed when you trust in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, know what so many is doing today, Brother John? They're running to and fro. Worried about this and that. Concerned about tomorrow. And not trusting in the Lord. The man that trusts the Lord, he's blessed. That is, he has a deep-seated satisfaction and joy that nobody else can know. Amen. If you trust the Lord, you've got peace. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You found out, you've received Him, and you found out that He's good. For the man who trusts the Lord is blessed. Son, trust in military might in Psalm 20 and 7 and in Psalm 44 and verse 6. Have some trust in wealth in Psalm 49 and 6. Have some trust in dishonesty and theft in Psalm 62 and 10. Some trust in the government in Psalm 146 and 3. I hate to know why they're trusting in the government. Amen. I don't even trust the government, let alone trust in the government. Somebody say amen to that right there. That's exactly right. All them talking heads on the television and the news shows, they don't even know what the problems are, let alone how to fix them. If they realize what the problem was, they'd all resign and get out of office, because they're the problem. Amen. That's exactly right. They're not the answer. They are the problem. Oh, friend, but 10 times in the book of Psalms, the exact phrase is used. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Oh, friend, if there's anything you could get in your life that would help you, would be to just trust in the Lord. If you'd learn to trust Him, if you'd learn to lean on Him, if you'd learn to put faith in Him, if you'd live by faith in Jesus above, if you'd break your box open, give Him everything that's in it, just let God have your whole life. Trust in the Lord. I love chapter 56 of Psalms. Verse number 3, our girls have put to memory Psalm 53 and 56 and 3, and then verse 4. And then again in verse 11, this is what it says. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I wonder, what do you do when you're afraid? What time I am afraid, I'll trust in Thee. Amen. In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The man who put his trust in the Lord is truly a blessed man. He has riches. He has treasures unseen. How blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. So let me give you 3 things this morning, and they're surrounded, and I'll be done. First of all, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, because he's blessed with deliverance. He's blessed with deliverance. Notice verse number 4 through 6 tells us about this. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, we're delivered. If you trust the Lord, you've been delivered from fear this morning. If you'll trust the Lord, you've been delivered from fear. Did you know you don't have to be afraid all the time? You haven't got to live in fear. Some of you've got more locks on your door than what you can. I mean, it takes you 20 minutes to lock everything down, to go to bed at night, to get everything fastened down. You're scared to death to every highway light that comes down the road if some booger or some Hank's coming to get you. I mean, living in fear all the time. Some of you are scared to death of what's going to happen tomorrow. Anxiety's overwhelmed your life. Worried about everything. I mean, friend, listen, Brother John said this morning, I quoted the scripture, how many of you by taking thought could add 1 cubit to your height? You know, I've thought about that passage a lot, Brother John. 1 cubit's about 18 inches. I'm right at 6 foot tall. I don't think I want to add 18 inches to my height. I think that would be a bit inconvenient. Amen. And you know what I think? I think Jesus knew what is best when He made me just like He did. And I believe He knows how to take care of me. And I'm not afraid, somebody said. Oh, friend, somebody said, don't you understand? All of me
meanest areas in the world.
Yeah.
I do understand that.
Yeah.
Don't you understand?
Yeah.
Greater is He that's in me
yeah.
than he that is in the world. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
You don't have to live scared all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, friend,
yeah.
some of you are just scared all the time.
Yeah.
S-K-E-E-R-E-D, scared.
Yeah.
That's Harrelson County Hebrew. That's worse than being scared.
Yeah.
Being scared and being afraid is one thing.
Yeah.
You get scared, it's going to escalate it to another level. Amen.
Yeah.
And some of you lived your life just scared all the time.
Yeah.
Worried, upset,
yeah.
upsetting about everything.
Yeah.
Your hair's turned gray or turned loose.
Yeah.
Your stomach's upset.
Yeah.
Your medicine cabinet's full.
Yeah.
And still you can't get peace.
Yeah.
Would you trust in the Lord?
Yeah.
It's easier for me to say it
yeah.
than what it is for all of us to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's a great blessing
yeah.
when you learn to just trust in the Lord.
Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Oh, that trusteth in Him. Amen. He has deliverance from fear. You don't have to live in fear. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 said, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear comes from the devil. Perfect love casteth out fear. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power. And of a sound mind. How we have deliverance from fear. The man that trusts in the Lord. He has deliverance from fear. He's blessed with deliverance from shame. In verse number 5. They looked unto Him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. Were it not for our trust in God, we would be nothing but ashamed. Ashamed of who we were. Ashamed of what we'd done. Ashamed of the sins in our life. Yeah.
Ashamed of the condition of our hearts.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad the Lord came by.
Yeah.
And there is now therefore no condemnation
yeah.
to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who walk not after the spirit,
yeah.
after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We have no need to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I remember what you did that is wrong.
Yeah.
I remember most of that stuff too.
Yeah.
Probably better than what you do. Certainly better than I want to. Amen.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the Lord don't remember that anymore.
Yeah.
I have no need to be ashamed.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I can come before Him and pray,
yeah.
Brother Tom, and even present my needs.
Yeah.
It's because I don't have to be ashamed
yeah.
of who I am, were it not
yeah.
that I trusted in Him to take care of my sin problem.
Yeah.
I'd never get past the shame that that brings
yeah.
to even talk to Him about what I need. That He took care of shame for me already.
Yeah.
He delivered me from shame.
Yeah.
And now I can share everything with Him.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, without God, we'd be nothing but ashamed. But by faith, I've given my shame to Him. He took it all away. And now, my hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. And Romans chapter number 5 and verse 5 said, that hope maketh not ashamed. Amen. You don't have to be ashamed before God or before men. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to every man that believeth to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I thank God that He's delivered me from this thing of shame. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. He's blessed because he's delivered from fear, delivered from shame. He's blessed because he's delivered from trouble. Verse number 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He saved me out of all my troubles. Matter of fact, I just want to say that again just this way. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Somebody said, from what? From everything. He saved me. To know what it is to be saved. It's the greatest blessing in the world. I mean, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad Jesus saves. And Jesus saved me. He saved me. Amen. Oh, yes. He saved me out of all of my troubles.
troubles, particularly the trouble that sin brings, that trouble that disobedience brings, that trouble that doubt brings. He delivered me. I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, had established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth. He even praised our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. I'm blessed because I have deliverance. He saved me.
Amen.
We're blessed with deliverance from fear, from shame, from trouble. The man that's trusting in the Lord is blessed because not only does he have deliverance, but he has defense. Amen. He has defense. When it comes right down to it, you're not a match for the devil and the world and the flesh. But when it comes right down to it, we ain't walking by ourselves either. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we have a defense. Amen. We have a protector. We have a God. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's the rock of my salvation. Amen. Oh, yes. I bless His name for that. We have a defense in verses 7 through 10. Verse number 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And now He's encamped about us. This word encampeth means to pitch a tent. It means to recline. Now when I studied this and I thought about the Lord reclining, I thought, my, why would it mean to recline? Why would that verse mean to pitch a tent? Sound like He's going to bed, doesn't it? Going to pitch a tent, going to recline. Sounds about like you're sitting at rest and laying down. And then I was reminded, and I'm going to give you more of this in a second, that then I was reminded that the Lord is resting just fine. Friend, He's not worried about what the enemy's bringing against us. He hadn't got to be scared of anything that's going on around earth. He's comfortable that His power is sufficient to meet our every need. It means to pitch a tent. It means to recline. It intimates the getting ready to go to bed down. And it's, my friend, intimates the scene to set up housekeeping, to settle in, to stay. You know what that word encamping means? It's not a temporary term, but it means to be dug in. You know the Lord digs in around us. He don't just show up once in a while to visit, but if you trust in the Lord, He's digging in around you. He's building a fortress around you. He's setting up housekeeping around you. Hallelujah. And that word roundabout means in a circle. It means to surround. I tell you, God is so serious about protecting His children. Those that trust in Him, He surrounded us. And His angels are dug in. And let the winds blow. Let the enemy roar. Let the threatenings of the devil come. He's not going to be scared off. He circled the wagons. Amen. He's dug in. He's entrenched. He's encamped about us. And He's taking care of us.
Amen.
He's our defense. They've settled in to stay. All the angels of God, let the devil and the world attack as they will. He'll not leave us unprotected. He'll not forsake us. Amen. He'll be with us in the sixth trouble, won't forsake us in the seventh trouble. Amen. The battle rages against us, but those who are trusting in the Lord are blessed with a heavenly defense department that's dedicated to us full time. Amen. Oh, thank God. And has set up an encampment around us. No, that's a blessing. Amen. Well, the defense is, man that trusteth in the Lord has a defense encamped about us in verse 7. And then He sends supplies for us in verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
He didn't just surround you so you can't get out and then go starve you to death. But friend, He surrounded us so nothing else could get in, and the supply lines are kept open. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Even the strong and powerful lions lack and suffer hunger. Even the young and mighty have needs, and often do without. But not the man that trusts in the Lord. He keeps the supply lines open. Amen. I was listening to the news this morning that's talking about how that I think just this past week in Afghanistan or over in the Middle East where they're fighting somewhere, how one of the units is out there, had their supply line had been cut off by pirates and by terrorists and the enemies, and that they're trying to starve the soldiers and attack them and keep their ammunitions and their supplies from getting to them. I'm going to tell you, the devil would love to be able to do that to you and to me. He'd love to cut our supply off, but our supply is not determined, and my friend, dependent on the U.S. Army, or it might fail somewhere, but our supply, friend, is dependent on God, and He'll meet all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You want to starve out one of God's sinners? You'd have to bankrupt heaven first. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, He knows what we need, when we need it, how to get it to us. And David said in Psalm 37:15, I've been young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed of begging bread. He knows how to take care of us. He supplies for us.
Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Wasn't just enough to have a bale of hay and a bucket or a tub of water. Oh, friend. But he gave me fresh grass. Give me clean still water to drink out of. Hallelujah. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I tell you, the Lord's supplying for us. He's taking care of us. We've got a supply. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him, for he has deliverance, he has defense. And then we'll finish with this. He's got desire. He's got desire. Amen. Frank Humphrey, Brother John was talking about him earlier. Frank Humphrey used to tell me the reason how come some folks don't serve the Lord is they just ain't got no czar to. And that's right. They don't. They just don't have any desire to serve the Lord. But I tell you, if you trust in God, you have a desire. There's something inside of you that's motivated, that's moved, that's stirred. Amen. Verse 12, he said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? I wonder, do you have a desire in your life? The people that do trust in God share some common desires. All of my goals and ambitions and yours are not the same, but we share some in common. All of our interests may not be the same, but we share some desires in life. How? Verse number 11, we share a desire for learning. He said that, verse 11, come you children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. How do you desire to learn? I tell you, if a man saved, the Bible said, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. I mean, there are some things we desire. Amen. We desire learning. In verse 11, we learn the fear of God. How come, you children, hearken to me, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. We're not afraid of this world. We're not afraid of what man can do to us. But we do fear God. We fear Him too much not to trust Him. We fear Him too much not to put faith in Him. We fear Him too much not to listen to His Word. I mean, we fear God. We have a desire to learn the fear of God. We have a desire to learn to live in blessings in verse 12. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have been preaching the last 6 weeks or so about blessings if I didn't want some in my life. Amen. I've
folks want to sound super spiritual and that they say they're not interested in blessings, just interested in God. Well, I got news for you. You can't get Him without some blessings that goes with Him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm still saying thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'm interested in living in blessings. I'm not a health and wealth and prosperity doctrine preacher by any means. But I tell you, friend, I do believe in a God that is full of blessings.
Verse 12 tells us that. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? You're not living so you can be miserable. Nobody desires to live for everything to get worse tomorrow than what it is today. Ain't nobody desiring to live a long life so that they can be a miserable individual and so they can miss out on more tomorrow than what they did today. And so tomorrow everything that's bad today will get worse. I mean, the reason why we live is with the hope of seeing good. To see our children grown. To see them blessed. To see God prosper them. To see people saved. To experience the move of God in our lives. To know more about our Lord. We desire blessings. We have a common desire as children of God. We want to live to learn to live in blessings. We have a desire to learn. We want to learn how to shout the blessings instead of singing the blues. Amen. That's exactly right. And we have a desire for learning. Learning the fear of God, living, learning to live in blessings. Oh, we have a desire to learn to keep the tongue. Amen. Verse number 13, to depart from, or keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. We are born into this world not knowing when to speak. Friend, we speak too much, say too much. And no sooner have your children learned to talk and to walk than you're begging them to sit down and to hush. Amen. That's exactly right. Just the way that He works. But the Lord teaches us this. We have to study to be quiet, Brother Bob. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, we have to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that He can put His words in our mouths. And we have to pray His psalms as the psalmist did in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my deliverer. If you're saved, you have a desire to learn to keep your tongue and to speak right and to let your words be seasoned with salt.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I don't care what nobody thinks about what I say. I doubt you've got a whole lot of God in your life. Amen. When you get the Lord in your life, you want to say words that will be a blessing to somebody. You want to be an encourager. You want to be a Barnabas. You want to be an exhorter to people. Y'all know Barnabas' name was not Barnabas, don't you? He was called Barnabas by the disciples. It means an encourager. He was called Barnabas so long till everybody called him Barnabas like it was his name. Amen. He was an encourager. Amen. Oh, I want to be a Barnabas. I want to be an encourager. I want my words to be a blessing to somebody. And if you're saved and you're trusting in God, you have a common desire to learn to keep your tongue that it might be a blessing. We have a desire to learn. We have a desire to leave. Amen. Verse number 14, he says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The man that trusts in God desires to leave some things. I desire to depart from some things. You can't live in some things and be right with God. You can't continue to do some things and be right with God. You cannot live with sin and be satisfied. If you put your trust in the Lord, you've got a desire. Somebody said, but I don't live right all the time. Man, I wish I could say that I lived right all the time. But I can say that I want to live right all the time. I can say that I have a desire. What man is he that desireth life? If you desire to live and to learn, if you desire to know these things, if you desire to leave the world and the things of the world, those are signs that you put your trust in the Lord. So long as what you still love sin and the world and the way you've been living and more than you love Jesus, it is an indicator that you've never put your trust in the Lord and been saved. But saved I'm going to tell you something else. We've got a desire to leave this whole world altogether. To leave sin and the whole world that it's in. Amen. I mean, I've got leaving on my mind. Amen. That's exactly right. I didn't know. I mean, all my life I'd hear the folks around the church saying, hey, every day I've just got leaving on my mind. I thank God singing about going to heaven. I didn't know what that meant. I sure didn't know, Brother John, up until a couple weeks ago when I was in a restaurant and the music is playing and the speakers way too loud and they're playing some old country drunk song. That's something about this woman that had leaving on her mind. I'm thinking about leaving her husband. I had no idea that there was such a thing out there. But I tell you, I hadn't got that kind of leaving on my mind. I've got leaving this world on my mind. I don't want to leave you, friend. I don't want to leave you behind. I want you to come and go along with me. I want us to go together. I want us to leave out together. Somebody said you're planning on leaving out on the first boat. Well, you think what you want to of it. But if you're going to leave, you need to leave on the first boat. Amen. That's exactly right. You better get ready. I'm my friend to go. Somebody said I'm packing my bags. You don't need them. You might ought to unpack your bag if you want to leave. Amen. Now get rid of all the things of this world. Go ahead now and disassociate yourself with the society we're living in. Separate yourself from sin and Satan and selfishness. Amen. And unto the Savior. And look for that blessed hope. That glorious appearing of our great God. And the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. I bless His name. I got leaving on my mind.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. He has a desire. He's blessed with a desire for learning. He's blessed with a desire for leaving. And these verses teach us he's blessed with a desire for the Lord. He's blessed with a desire for the Lord. Verse 15 through 18. If you trust Him, if you desire Him more than anything else, it'll show up in your life. We are to desire His eyes in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh, I'm glad I'm never outside of His watchful eye. Never outside of His sight. The Lord sees me. Oh, listen, sinner friend, did you know the Lord sees you? He sees all your sin. He sees all your wickedness. He sees all your ungodliness. He sees where you go, what you've been doing. He knows about it. Saint of God, did you know the Lord sees you? He sees what you need, when you need it, how to get it to you. He sees the breaking of your heart. He sees the trouble of your life. Isn't it amazing? If you don't trust in the Lord, seem like all you know is that God sees your sin. But whenever you've trusted in God and He's took your sin away, you have comfort knowing He sees your need. He sees, my friend, the breaking of your heart. He sees your troubles. Oh, I have a desire for the Lord. I desire for His eyes. I desire for His face in verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. This is His righteousness. This shows His holiness. That's why God said unto Moses, no man has seen my face and lived. He's too holy for a sinful man to see His face and live. There's judgment against sin in His face. There's a holy demand of my friend and desire in the face of God. That if you desire His face, you must seek to be holy as He is holy.
Do you desire His face? I desire the Lord. His eyes, His face. I desire His ear in verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. Oh, I'm glad He hears me when I pray.
And delivereth them out of all their troubles. The twin sister verse to this verse is Isaiah 59 and 1.
The hand of the Lord is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Oh, I desire His ear. Oh, and I'm glad that He hears me when I pray. I desire His presence in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them. Oh, that
You want to say the Lord's nigh to me? That word nigh means close by. The Lord is close by. The Lord's at a hand's reach. The Lord's standing next to me. Amen. The Lord is nigh to them that be. I that are of a broken heart, that save as such as be. Have a contrite spirit. Do you want to be heard of the Lord? Oh, my friend. How do you want to be near the Lord? James 5, chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8 said, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, friend, we've got a blessing that we have a desire for the Lord.
I'm finished preaching and come on the song, but we'll say this. These people in this building this morning, all of us, matter of fact, that saved, there was a time in our lives at some point when you didn't care nothing about God. You didn't have a desire for God. Matter of fact, when the Lord showed up to convict you of your sin, it messed up everything. Messed up the way you was living. It turned your apple cart upside down. I mean, interrupted you right in the middle of your plans. Right in the middle of what you're doing, God showed up and put a stop to everything. And you weren't even interested in God. But ever since that day, Brother Bob, that I put my trust in Him, I've had a desire for Him. And a long for Him. And a yearn for Him. And down on the inside, I can't be close enough to Him. I mean, I love Him. Down in my heart, I love Him. And I want to have Him close by every chance that I get, every opportunity for Him to be nigh unto me. Listen, I remember the 14th of February. 14th of February. Now I sound like them old preachers. I'm telling stories and giving dates. The 14th of February in 1993, I was pastoring at Union Hill Church. And I was up fixing to get up and preach that morning. And I was up on the stage. I'm minding my own business, doing good. Didn't have a problem in the world, didn't think. I mean, everything is doing good, I thought. And I mean, hey, everything was going good. And had a good life. And I wasn't interested in nothing else but just exactly what is going on. Focus on the right here and now. I mean, that's just the way it was. And all of a sudden, them back doors come open, and absolutely my whole world changed. Sonia come walking in them back doors and sat down on the second row from the back on this side over here. And she won't want to tell you, but she was wearing some other fellow's jacket that morning. But it wasn't too long later, she was wearing mine. Amen. That's exactly right. And to thank God, I wasn't looking for her. I wasn't interested in it, but she just showed up. And when she showed up, it changed everything. And what I was interested in changed. What occupied my thoughts changed. What I cared about changed. Are you listening to me? And that we are the bride of Christ. He is our groom. When I met Him, I wasn't interested in Him. I didn't desire for Him, Brother Jeff. But on the 25th of June in 1989, He came walking into my life. I put my trust in Him, and now my desire has changed. And I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high. Set my feet upon the mountaintop. The thing is, if the Lord and King, the Creator of everything, loves me with a love that won't stop. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Do you trust Him? He knows best for your life. You can trust Him for your forgiveness.
Amen.
most important thing that John taught about at Sunday school. You can trust Him for your family. You can trust Him by faith believing. You can trust Him fully. Just trust Him. He'll not fail you. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If you need to pray this morning, would you come? Stand to your feet. Maybe you need to bring your box this morning. One of these young men has got a box. But Alex, bring me your box. Oh, thank you, buddy. You can stand here with me just a minute. Maybe you need to bring your box this morning. You can't care if I look in your box. Maybe you need to bring your box. Look at that. Oh, my. Whatever's in your box, picture of the hands and the feet and the heart. And then there's a picture of my buddy here. Right there. Maybe you need to bring your box this morning and give Him everything you've got. And just put your trust in Him. And when you get here, don't just give Him stuff in your box. Give Him the box. Give Him everything you got. And trust in the Lord. You can stand here with me, buddy. If you need to pray, come pray and talk to the Lord this morning. If you need to give Him your box, if you need to trust Him, would you come? Say when you're ready for Him.
Joy I can't deny.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. You know what the Bible called him in one passage? Our prop. When you got a prop this morning, anything you can lean on, anything you can prop up on, something to keep you standing when you're too tired to stand by yourself. I'm glad when I cannot stand, I can lean. There's a place beside Him where I can lean. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Ask God to help us as we part, that all we do might glorify Him, that others would see the blessing in our life that is in trusting Him and leaning on Jesus. Brother John, lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You, God, for this blessed day. God, we thank You, God, for the trust that we've placed in You. God, that You've been a faithful friend.
Yes, O Lord.
Lord, that You're always there beside us.
Yes, O Lord.
God, that You're there, that we can lean upon. Lord, I thank You for the good day You've given us. God, for the good word that's been preached. God, for the help that You've given my heart.
Thank You, God.
Lord, I'd ask You, Lord, as we leave this place, God, that we'd be witnesses for You. God, live a life before men, God, that they might come to
You. Yes, O Lord.
Help us, Lord, to be a witness. Help us, God, to trust in You in all aspects in our lives, Lord. The big things, Lord, the little things. Lord, we thank You. We pray You. We love You this morning. Thank You for this church. God, thank You for each friend.
Yes, O Lord.
God, help us, Lord, to be a help to each one.